Well, happy Wednesday. Thank you for being here and braving the rain to be here tonight. I hope you're having a good week. And we just speak blessings over our children and our young people who are meeting in other places in the building. And we're grateful for that. And over our small groups that meet throughout the week, we're just grateful that people are connecting and studying God's Word together. And that's a good thing. Well, tonight I want to talk to you about what's in your song. What's in your song? How many of you, and I'm not going to pass the mic around right now, but how many of you enjoy singing? You know, when it comes to the Scripture, we really don't have, I guess you have an option. You can always disobey. But the Scripture commands us. Like when we come together corporately in the Old Testament, when they would come to this temple, when they would come to the feast, come into His presence with singing. And the power of song, the power of lyric, the power of music, it's an amazing thing. Some have referred to music as the universal language, and I think there's a certain amount of truth to that. Our bodies are made to respond to sound in that way, and you'll be listening to one of your songs, and you'll notice your foot are moving, and heads are bobbing, and you're swaying with the sound. So, in some ways, we're similar to the grass in the field when the wind blows, when the music's playing. We naturally respond to sound in that way. But singing is very much a part of our spiritual life, our worship life. And tonight we're going to dip into one of the Psalms in the Old Testament. If you're, about halfway in your Bibles where you'll find the book of Psalms. And in Psalm chapter 59, we're going to look at a verse there tonight, verse 16. And I'm not going to read the whole Psalm, but I will tell you this about it. This Psalm took place in a time when David was being pursued by Saul's men. Now, Saul was the king of Israel. David had already been anointed by Samuel to be the future king of Israel. Saul was often come upon by just this rage. An evil spirit would come upon him, the Bible says. He would become enraged with anger. And even when David played and released his sound in Saul's court, sometimes that spirit would come upon Saul, and a couple of times he tried to pin David to the wall with a harpoon. I mean, he'd throw things at him, and sometimes those things would have sharp spear points on the end of them. And he was just real volatile when it came to his anger, and he had so much resentment in his heart toward David, because David's the little guy that took out the big guy. You remember he killed Goliath, and when they came back into the city, the maidens were singing, "Saul has killed his thousands. David has killed his 10,000s. Well, the problem with that is Saul was the king and David was just a young buck, so to speak, young man. And yet now he's being exalted. The favor of the Lord is upon him. And that really grated Saul the wrong way. And so there was a few years there where Saul was pursuing David, trying to catch him, trying to find him, trying to kill him. And this is one of those occasions when basically Saul's men think they've got David hemmed in and they're just waiting for the opportunity to take him out. And he goes through his feelings about that and the prayers that he prayed are in this psalm. But when we get to verse 16, the last two verses, I'm just going to read verse 16 next to the last verse. He said, "But I will sing of your power. Yes, I will sing aloud of your mercy in the morning. For you have been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble." Tonight's lesson or message teaching, what I'm aiming at is I want you to join me in noticing that David used song and singing to reflect upon what God had done for him, how God had delivered him. So for you note takers, I'm going to give you a few things to consider. And the first thing I want to say to you is David was committed to singing. Notice that first part of that verse. He says, but I will sing of your power. His will is involved here. He's making the decision. He's making the choice. I'm going to sing of your power. Now, he's been delivered. This is he's reflecting and meditating on what God had done for him. And in his heart, there's the desire to declare that in song. I will sing of your power. He was committed to singing. Probably most of us in the room had our introduction to singing for the first time or being involved with music in school or in church. You know, even today, a lot of the people who become famous in the music industry, a lot of them had their start in a church, whether in the choir or and so forth. And when I was growing up, and I don't know how it is today, it may still be the same way, but we had a time every week where we went into the auditorium and we had a music teacher. And we learned about music and we learned about singing and we learned all those cute little songs. And it was, I think, very, very important because we were created to worship God. And the Scripture tells us that around Him right now, there is this chorus of singing by the angels. The throne room is, they're great above Dolby Stereo. They've got music going on up there, and I'm sure it's quite perfect. And God loves that atmosphere of praise and worship and sound. And I'm not one of those that believes any music other than just church music is wrong. I don't believe that. I'm all for music that's healthy and wholesome and that expresses human emotion. And yeah, I think there's some out there that paint outside the lines and it doesn't have the kind of message we need to be passing on to others. But music is a good thing, generally speaking. I believe it was created by God Himself. I know it was. And as a matter of fact, the Scripture has some indicators to us that Lucifer, prior to his rebellion in heaven, he was one of, a ruling angel in the area of worship. So since he rebelled and he's been cast out of heaven, and now he roams to and fro on the earth trying to devour people, it should not surprise us that he would want to take something that God gave as a gift to mankind and perverted in some way. So yes, there is some music that's perverted and it doesn't glorify God. But don't let that keep you from enjoying music and enjoying singing the way that God intended to. It's very interesting and I'll usually take you back to early Genesis in a lot of my teaching because I think that's where we have the picture of what the world was supposed to look like. What it did look like before sin came. And early on, when you read the genealogies, you read about these craftsmen who were makers of music. Early on, at the dawn of civilization, they were already learning how to create music and release sound. I believe God put that in our DNA. And, Ray Hughes is such a master on teaching about sound, and I remember him talking about how even the galaxies in the solar system, there's a sound that's being released. The heavens literally are declaring the glory of God. And so were you created to declare His glory. Now the heavens are doing it because God commanded it and they're doing it and they'll keep doing it till they're no more. But you and I were given a choice. But when it comes to singing, we're commanded to sing. Now, you may not have the call on you to sing from the platform, but you have an invitation to sing in the presence of God in His throne room 24/7. And singing is very, very important. I really, when God was stirring me for ministry early on, I played guitar and I'd wrote some songs and I was invited to go around to some churches and I would sing my songs and give a little testimony. And Mickey was just so happy when God called me to preach. You know, I found my anointing finally, you know. So, but we do have a song in us. And I want to encourage you tonight to release your sound. Second thing, not only was David committed to singing, the subject here of David's song was God's power. And the reason he sang of God's power here, if you read through this psalm, he knew it was God's power that had delivered him from the power of the king of the land, Saul. A greater power. Notice he said, I will sing of your power. You see, God's power has priority. It's greater than any other power. I mean, sometimes people get into this theological thing that God and the devil are exact opposites. They are opposites, but they're not exact opposites. That is saying, when it comes, God is all-powerful, the devil's not. God is eternal, the devil's a created being. Anything the devil does, it's only because God has allowed it. In other words, he doesn't give instructions to God by any shape of the imagination. So David understood the supremacy of God's power, and he wanted to release that in a song. He knew that in and of himself, he would have been burnt toast. Saul would have taken him out. He knew the hand of God was protecting him. And if we were to go row by row tonight, it would be everybody here probably has a testimony of a time when you know you would not be here had God not delivered you or kept you safe. Maybe it was a near miss in a car accident or some other accident that just a second sooner or later you would not be here. Or maybe a time when you were at the point of death in the hospital or you overcame a disease that carried the death sentence with it. And that's, we give glory to God for those things. People want to argue about whether God heals and there's miracles. When you get better, here's a tip of the night. You give God the glory for that. If he used the doctor, thank the doctor, give God the glory. Because every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. So we see this was the subject of David's song, and this will tie together as we move through this because I want to encourage you before we leave here tonight to begin to sing your own songs concerning what God is doing or has recently done in your life. Because that's what David's doing. He went through this thing, and this anointing came upon him, and he wrote a song about it. And now here's a preacher in Northwest Alabama talking about it tonight, you know, a few thousand years later. We're still talking about this song he released. I think that's powerful. Now, the third thing I want to say, I want you to notice is David sang passionately. He said, but I will sing of your power. Yes, I will sing aloud. And when I read that, I mean, obviously he's talking about the volume of his singing. But beyond that, it's like he was unashamed of what God had done for him. And he wanted to sing his praises to others. Now, in our fallenness, we can become pretty adept at singing praises to ourselves. Scripture says, let another man praise you, not your own lips. But we can do that. But we were created to sing his praises, to release our songs, to magnify him. And so David, just reading and studying David's life, I think he was filled with passion. You know, when he went for something, he went for it. And we see that in the Psalms where he's pouring his heart out and his emotions, the good, the bad, the ugly. David spares none of that. It's all there in the book of Psalms. And he sings about it all. That's interesting to me. Then notice fourthly, mercy was another subject of this particular song. He said, yes, I will sing aloud of your mercy in the morning. Mercy. Now that we all should be singing that tune. We can all sing about his mercy. I mean, when I came in, I was talking to, I think it was Craig at the bar, and he said, yeah, I got up this morning. Well, that's, what a blessing. What a blessing. I just took another breath. It's God's mercy.
God's mercy. So I wanted you to notice that we all not only are to be merciful, but we need mercy.
God's compassion demonstrated to us. God not dealing with us with the severity that He could, but He does not because of mercy. His love, His grace, His mercy are such big boys on God's front porch as far as I'm concerned, because those things we all need. And they're all very, very powerful. I remember I was reflecting on this earlier today, and I thought of an occasion when I was a senior in high school, and it was after I'd started sprouting my dandelion and wearing my afro. The first time I wore it to school, the teacher made me go to the ag building and wash it out. So I didn't spruce it out quite as far the next time, but I let it rip. And so I had a pair of sunglasses. I was just trying to be Mr. Cool. And this was like fifth period class after lunch, and it's our main teacher in our senior class, who I forgot what we called them, but she was over the senior class, and Mrs. Weeks. And I threw my shades on. I was sporting those shades and my afro, and I was sitting there trying to be Mr. Cool. And she saw me throw those sunglasses on, and she jumped on me. She said, "Eddie Lawrence, you take those sunglasses off. I'm not going to have this in the class. You don't need sunglasses in this room. Take them off." And so I took them off rather quickly. But I was, during those days, I was writing a lot of poetry, and they had me writing a lot for our annual. And so after she did it, I sat there and I started scribbling, and one of my buddies next to me saw what I was writing and started giggling and got me in trouble. So she came back to me, "What are you doing now?" And she saw him pointing to my paper, and she said, "I want to see it. Read it right now. Stand up and read it to the class." So I thought, I am in trouble. So I stood up and I read it to the class. I said, Mrs. Weeks, you are a teacher. By you we must be led. If I can't wear my glasses, then take yours off your head." Of course, the whole class burst out laughing. She started giggling, and I thought I would have gone to get the hot seat, which she was apt to do, and most of us had experienced that. But I got mercy. I got mercy. She spared me. Well, in a more serious way, all of us are spared. I mean, I think that's one reason we need to be very careful about judging people, about criticizing people, and trying to elevate ourselves above other people. Because blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And what's interesting to me about this is David knew what an angry man Saul was, how violent he could be. He knew an evil spirit came upon him. He had seen that face to face. He knew before God that Saul was, he was the one doing wrong. And yet, when he looks at it, instead of maybe becoming bitter and vindictive and asking God to let Saul have it, he's just thanking God that He was merciful to him. He saw God's mercy toward him in it. Instead of focusing on the rage of Saul toward him, he focused on the mercy of God given to him. I think there's a lesson in that for us in our daily lives, particularly when we're going through times we feel like people are being hard on us or are wrongly dealing with us. We can focus on what they're doing, or we can focus on what God's giving us in the middle of that. And not only just focus on it, but worship Him through that. That's what David is doing. The next thing I want you to notice quickly, that David started his day with a song. He said, "But I will sing of your power. Yes, I will sing aloud of your mercy in the morning." The day that I
when I get up in the morning, the first thing that I read is the scripture. And this was the scripture I read on this morning a few weeks back. I started making notes on this because it just so spoke to me. And so I actually sat there in my recliner after I read this, and I thought, I'm going to do that. So I began to think about what God had done for me in the last week or so. And it's just me and Him. So I didn't have to be focused on what are people going to think about this, because I knew what He's going to think about it. He's the one that calls us to do it. I just began to sing to Him as best I could. And I was trying to put lyrics and express to Him what I was thanking Him for that He had done the last couple of weeks, and what I appreciated about Him that stood out to me in that morning. And it was a real sweet thing. And I've tried to begin doing that more. And I know all of us may have times when we may turn on worship music and we join in that worship music. And that's good. But I'm talking about something different tonight that I'm wanting to challenge you to try. Okay? And I'll talk about that in just a moment. He started his day with a song. It's interesting. Another of the prophets in the Old Testament talked about God's mercies are new every morning. So he's singing aloud in the morning about God's mercy. And then it was a song of testimony. Notice it says, I will sing aloud of your mercy in the morning, for you have been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. His song was literally his testifying to what God had personally done for him. He rescued him. You came to my defense. You were my refuge. You saw me through this. So we really see David connecting with God by he's just thanking God for being who He is. Thank you. You're my defense. You're my refuge. And you're so merciful. And he just began to sing that. He made a commitment. He was going to sing it. It was a song of testimony. And the last thing is David did not let trouble steal his song. He said, for you have been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. He went through a real hard time, and I mentioned this just a couple minutes ago, went through a real hard time, but he did not respond to it in a way that stole his song. Sometimes we go through things in life and it steals our song. Yes, I'm talking not just literally, but I'm talking about the joy in your heart, I don't know how many of you do it, but sometimes when Mickey's there, I'll even do it, but I'll walk around and I'll just be singing a song. Sometimes I'm singing a song and I don't even realize I'm singing. And sometimes it's worship song. Sometimes it may be a bluegrass tune that I used to play on my guitar 30, 40 years ago. You know, it comes to my mind. Wake up, darling Corey, what makes you sleep? You know, something like that. But just releasing your sound. But learning to do this as responsive worship to God. His song was a reminder to him that God had been his anchor, God had been his refuge. And it says, in the day of my trouble. This was personal to David. His day of trouble. Now, if you never have days of trouble, well, no one's here tonight that probably fits. Right? Might have been the day you got your report back and it wasn't cancer. That's something to think about, right? Or you got your report back and it was no longer cancer. That's something to think about. And this may give you pause for a moment, but some people, they may wake up in glory one morning and they're singing their song on the other side of cancer. And we've all been in services where that was the case. But we'll still have our song. Even death cannot steal our song. David see? He's making the choice while he's living. This is not going to steal my song. As a matter of fact, it's going to become my song. And just think about that for a moment. That if we could get wired and get in that place of faith where we've decided no matter what day of trouble comes, it will not steal my song. It will become my song to God. Because that's what we see in David's life. He went vertical with it and worship. So, there's a place for your new song. Psalm 96, verse 1 says, sing a new song unto the Lord. Sing a new song. And there's times when our worship team will share a new song with us that we will continue to sing that they've learned. That they've practiced, they've rehearsed, and they share it with us. And it may be one that we come back to time and time again. That's how they all start. Sometimes that new song may happen in the middle of one of the old songs we're singing. When they break out extemporaneously and they get into a place and the Spirit begins to move and they're releasing lyrics in the moment, and that becomes a new song. That's in Ephesians 5. Sing, be filled with the Spirit, singing to yourself in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Those psalms are the songs of the Old Testament with musical accompaniment. And the hymns, just like our hymns, just like I described, the songs that have kind of been embraced and carried often generation to generation, like Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, or Just As I Am, and those hymns. And we've got some in our lifetimes and in these last few decades are becoming hymns, like How Great Is Our God. That's a hymn now. That's become a hymn in the church. Whenever you sing it, you sense the breath of God on it. You know, it's just one of those songs. So sing a new song to the Lord. So here's the application. We're rounding third and heading in home here. I want you to think about, say this last week for a moment, and who has God been to you this last week? Say the last 7 days. Who has He been to you? What has He done for you? How have you needed Him? Sometimes your song may express a current need. You see that one, David. Sometimes it's a testimony of a current blessing, a recent blessing. But where are you? If you were to sit down and think about a song that you would sing reflecting your walk with God this last week, what would some of those lyrics be? What kind of tempo you think would the song have if you had to describe? Let's say this last season. Would it be militant? Or, you know, would it maybe have an E chord in there, E minor? You know, it's like emotional, and it's like deep, and you're working through the throes of trouble, and you're trying to emerge into that place of victory. Would it be fast? Would it be slow? Would it be soft? Would it be loud? What would your song in this most recent season, what would it be like? Because that's what, when we're reading the Psalms, that's what's happening. David is putting to music his walk with God. What's been going on in his life? What's been going on in his nation? What's been going on at the temple? All these kind of things. That's what he's doing. He's putting lyric, poetry, and sound to it. Some of them probably had the clashing cymbals. Other times the soft sweeping of the strings of the harp. The percussion of drums. What would your song sound like? What about the one in you for tonight? When you arrived here, what kind of, if you had to take your emotions and what you're going through and put it to music, what would it sound like? If you had to put words to how you're feeling or what you're struggling with, or are you rejoicing? Are you struggling? You feel close to God, or you feel like you've lost some some ground with God. Where are you? What's going on? Because music touches us in some ways like nothing else can. As it's been classically said, you know, music will soothe the soul of the savage beast, so to speak. It's a powerful thing. So I want to encourage you. Maybe tonight, or maybe like David in the morning, if you can get some alone time, try to write a sentence just expressing your heart to God in some way. Write out a sentence and sing it to Him. How should it sound? Ever how you want it to sound? What sound are you feeling? And try to express from your heart that sound through song. Well, I'm not a good singer. Well, surely you can put up with your own voice. The Lord created you. You make a joyful noise to the Lord. Yeah, we all understand that, right? But I'm really serious here. Find a place in your time with God to release your song. And maybe tomorrow, the day after tomorrow, you can add a sentence to that. And I believe you may begin to get some rhythm to go with it. A melody to go with it. And who knows? It might be something that becomes your unique testimony to God that you just enjoy releasing to Him. And here's what's neat. No one else on this planet that is, or was, or will be able to release it, the sound that you will. All of our DNA is different. You're unique. You were God's idea. And so there's a sound in you that needs to come out in a song. So you can start your day entering into His presence with singing. And I'm not saying buy a bus, hit the road. I'm just saying you and God, sing to Father. Sing Him a song. Sing Him a song. I got a song I sing for Mickey and no one else. I wrote it years and years ago called You're My Inspiration. I've got all the lyrics and it means something to her, even though I'm singing it. I guess actually because I am singing it. But how much more for our Lord is He worthy of receiving the joy of hearing your song that He created you to release to Him? So Lord, I pray across the room right now that there would be a stirring of creativity. I pray that there would be a download of courage. I know this may be somewhat uncomfortable for some folks. But Lord, just give us the courage to, in Your presence, if no one else, just in Your presence, to release our song to You. And Lord, I pray that You would anoint this in our lives here at Grace House. We know we are living in an area where the people and the land, that there's music that You've ordained, there's sound that You've ordained, there's creativity that's on this area that I believe is unique and different than any other place on the entire planet. And the world knows our area because of the music and the sound that's been released here. We believe the best is yet to come. It's the sounds of heaven, the wells of worship erupting, exploding with the glory of God. And Lord, help us to step into, even if it's just a small measure, in our morning time with You, of releasing our sound. Help us to become uninhibited in Your presence. In Jesus' name. Now, wouldn't it be something? If you step into this, in your relationship with God. And know that when you're singing, the angels are saying, listen. They're singing their song in reference to you and the Lord in harmony. But I will sing of your power. Yes, I will sing aloud of your mercy in the morning. For you have been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Amen.